This is Leafs Lunch Playoff Edition with Julia Tesheri and Michael DeStefano on TSN 1050. The playoffs live here.
Carr takes it away, loses it. Here's Stamkos over there. Front score! Stamkos! The Lightning forced a turnover, and Stamkos has made it 1-0 Lightning.
Over one timer. Score! Nathan MacKinnon with an absolute laser beam. One time to through Vasilevsky. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, this is a tie hockey game. The Mac attack is back, Jack.
Back for Manson. Tapped over. Score!
Oh. It's Arturi Lehkonen. It's a work of art. 1 second. It's over. They did it. They did it. The job is done. The Colorado Avalanche are Stanley Cup champions. And they will lift Lord Stanley a mile high. Ladies and gentlemen, the Cup is coming back to Colorado.
That's our guy, Connor McGehee, on the call. And to be the champs, you got to beat the champs. And the Colorado Avalanche did just that. Welcome to Leafs Lunch. I'm Mike DeStefano. Got Frank Corrado with me for the week, filling in for Juliet Tesheri. The rain in Tampa is over, Frankie. The rain in Tampa is over. Colorado, the new kings of the NHL.
And very deserving. Very deserving. First of all, what a fantastic Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, you think about the last few years and the bubble and last year with the different divisions and the different makeup of the league. I thought this was the best finals we've seen in a long time, and both Absolutely. These teams deserving of winning, but Colorado especially. The things they had to battle through with the injuries, the adversity, and it's just such a dominant performance by them.
And we were talking about, a lot of, fan favors made about the injuries to Tampa Bay. And even afterward, the coach came out and said, look, you're going to be surprised when you see the injured list just to see how many guys are really hurt. We would have been dressing half our minor league if this was a regular season game. But I think we were talking about it before we hopped on. Colorado was in the same boat, man. You could tell when they were lifting the Stanley Cup, all the guys who had some shoulder and rib banged up, they couldn't up and over the arms.
You can 100% tell who's battling like a wrist or a hand or a shoulder, because that cup, it goes up for like a second and then it kind of hangs out right by your chest. You're like, okay, I got it up, So
unless you're Naz. Naz, he got it through the pain. He put that thing right over his head, man. I was so happy for him, honestly. The biggest smile coming from Naz Kadri, and then the mic drop afterwards on the broadcast, just telling everybody, haters to, who called him a liability, they can kiss his ass. And
let me ask you this: like, you're a hockey fan. Like, do you care about that comment? Like, as a hockey player, I love it. Like, you just won the Stanley Cup. You went through so much this last little bit. Like, yeah, you're free reign to say that. Absolutely.
100%. I mean, the guy was not quite like run out of town, but in a way, there were the haters. He's not wrong. There were haters who were like, you can't win with this guy. You can't trust him in the postseason. And,
he had a Colorado good felt delivery on it, too. Like, he really did. Good delivery on
well,
that.
Well, because
like,
it started it was, positive, right? Starts positive. Yeah, the question he was asked, what do you think about, what's your message to all the people in Southern Ontario, London, Toronto? He's like, oh, thanks for all the supporters. There's been guys in my corner along the way. But for those Absolutely. Who weren't, you can kiss it. And it was a pretty good messaging there. Why don't we bring in our good pal, co-host of Overdrive, Jamie Noodles McLennan, TSN hockey analyst. Noodles, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing today?
I think we're doing pretty good, pretty good. We finally have a champion in the NHL. We were just coming in talking about the Nazem Kadri comments post-game. What'd you think of those comments? And do you think that his reputation of being a playoff liability has kind of been put to bed after this run?
Well, I mean, 3 out of 4 times. I mean, think about it. This guy got suspended 3 playoffs in a row. So, like, he's like, oh, put to bed. Actually, but you put it to bed by not getting suspended. Like, well, that's the thing. I was laughing last night. He's like, oh, you know, all the doubters. It's not the doubters. You were the guy who got suspended. We weren't. Like, I was laughing about it because, hey, listen, He had an amazing season, start to finish. This guy, you know, stepped up when McKinnon was hurt. He played first-line minutes. He's going to get paid in unrestricted free agency. He's the type of player you want on your team that'll battle through injury, play hard. You know, you got to reel him back in instead of, you know, trying to cattle prod him to get energy out of him. You respect all of that. But I was laughing last night. He's like, all the doubters. There were doubters. People were just saying, dude, you did it again. And then when you got to Colorado, you did it too. Even worse, yeah. You got 8 games against Falk. So, I like, Captain Obvious is like, no, you're the guy who did it. We weren't doubting it. We were just pointing out the facts. It's like, you got suspended with the exact same play, back-to-back playoffs for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So all the people defending him, great, go ahead and defend him. Go back on your Twitter timeline for people who like to chirp on a daily basis and look at what you had to say about Kadri in the moment during those times, because I think that's where he was. It may have been a bigger shot at the management for not believing in him, all of that type of stuff. Yeah. I believe what you guys said. Listen, he woke up a champion today. Good on him. He deserved it. The guy was an absolute warrior and was fantastic in these playoffs. And you know what? He plays with a chip on his shoulder, and, you know, everybody who didn't. I just thought it was funny. What was the exact quote? Like, anybody who thought I was a liability. You were a liability. Yeah. You flat out got suspended. Like, you weren't a guy that dangled on the far blue line and gave the puck away. You weren't Alex Galchenyuk type of liability as far as turnovers. You were a guy who was not available to your team three playoffs in a row. So that's kind of the only thing I was laughing about, because I'm like, you know, O-Dog called it the other day. He said, you knew there was going to be some form of a shot. But, you know, I think it was more on the higher level shot at, hey, the organization that traded him didn't believe in him to get it done. Well, he got it done. He didn't get suspended this playoff. If anything, he kind of found another level of legacy for himself. So I'm happy for him today. But I did get a chuckle out of that, because that's Naz's. I don't know him personally. I've met him several times, but, you know, I don't claim to know him on a friendly level. Frankie, you would know him. He seems like a funny guy, you know, kind of a lighthearted guy. So, you know, that seems to be his personality. So, you know what?
Yeah.
You can chirp while you're on top.
And Jamie, I think you're onto something there too, because if you ever read his piece in the Players Tribune when he got traded, he mentions that the phone call with Kyle Dubas after he got traded was just very brief. Naz, we've traded you to Colorado. Good luck. And that was it. So, you know, that probably hangs in the back of his head a little bit, especially for how long he was here and you know, what he put into his time with the team and the community and all that stuff, right? So, we don't need to, you know, bang this drum for too long. There's so much to talk about with this series and what happened. And, you know, obviously the Avalanche and the reign of the Tampa Bay Lightning, they were the first team to beat them in a series of over 1,100 days. Like, how much more do you think it means for them to knock off the back-to-back champs?
I think it's so special on so many different levels. You're right. Like, so we pivot from the Nazem Kadri story because it is special for him. And I think there's a lot of people that woke up happy for Naz. But then you take a look at, you know, Nathan McKinnon, and it resonated. I've said this before. His comments last year in the playoffs were the most profound comments. Usually it's a lot of lip service. Everyone's like, yeah, we failed. We came up short, but we're going to go get him. This guy was raw and just said, I haven't accomplished you know what in 9 years in this league, you know, and that's what I think was so significant, is here's a guy who played so hard, almost to the point where I think if you broke down his game, there were times where he's coming out of his skin. Like early on in that game last night, I think he was too revved up. If you look at the first goal, he was, you know, trying to put Kucherov into the 12th row instead of focusing on the puck. And then he ended up, I thought he dominated the game last night. That was a statement game by a statement player. I think it was so amazing that Colorado was able to kind of, you know, I don't think it was David and Goliath, because if you'd look at Colorado, right from day one, there were people saying, this is the team to beat. And Tampa, it was more, are they tired? All of that type of narrative. I'll say Tampa deserves a lot of respect, too, because Yep. I would love to see what the injury list is going to come out with that group, because it sounds like it was quite significant. If you heard the comments of Cooper and heard the comments of Patty Maroon last night, he said you're going to be shocked to hear some of the injuries that the guys were battling through.
Yeah, I think it was Cooper that said probably would have been starting half of a minor league lineup if this were the regular season. So, yeah, I'm sure there was plenty of banged up guys. And we saw it happen throughout the entire playoff series. But, you know, we're not gonna use that as an excuse, not like
nope,
they are as well, right? The Colorado was the better team. They really were. And, I mean, the guy who comes home with the Conn Smythe Award, Cale Makar, unbelievable playoff performance. And Nunes, at the beginning of the series, the conversation was had, like, is this like a chance for Makar to take the torch from Victor Hedman as the greatest, you know, the best defenseman in the league? And weren't sure if that should have a period, a question mark. So what do you think now? You think that there should be a period on that? Is there still a question mark, some ellipses? Where do you feel, or how are you leaning on the Makar versus Hedman debate after the Stanley Cup final?
I think it's just, we see greatness. Makar's 23. Like, I keep thinking about, Frankie, like, when did you feel like, you know, you had arrived as a guy where you've kind of understood your game, understood the league a little bit? Like, it's
hard, Jamie. It's hard because you need a lot of things to go right for you, and you need patience. Like, most players need some patience. For him to be doing what he's doing at 23, he arrived right on the scene. He was ready to rock. He didn't need that. You know the old saying, we don't know what a defenseman is until he plays 200 games. Like, he's like, right. I don't need 200 games. Like, this is what I am, and I'm just going to keep getting better.
That's what I keep
playoffs,
saying.
Right?
But that's the thing. Like, since the moment this guy has played in the National Hockey League, he's a point-of-game guy. Like, and then has continued that on in the playoffs at the highest level. I still maintain, and I don't know how he can get better, but it's more maintaining that level of play and then knowing what the league's all about and being able to push your limits. That when I see veteran guys, like Victor Hedman knows exactly how to play in every situation because he's seen it. So he can extend his shifts. He can jump into the play. He'll stay back because he reads all the situations. When Makar has been through the ringer a couple different times through the league, I don't want to say there's another level. It's just experience is going to be able to keep his dominance there. So, you know, for me, I think because of Josi and his situation and them, you know, them bowing out earlier, I look at Josi, I look at Hedman, I look at Makar. I think the league is in great hands, and there's different stages of it, right? The Hedman is 31, coming 32. Josi, I believe, is late 20s, and then Makar at 23. And then you sprinkle in all the other greats, Adam Fox, and, you know, I'm missing a few, I know, but
yeah,
the league is in great hands, and I think Makar is in that conversation of, you know, a dominant superstar. And I know this is a TSN manufactured thing, but like when you're looking at top five players, so if you go do your top, let's do your top 10 players of the list next year. You know, obviously McDavid, Matthews, who wins the Hart, and the Ted Lindsay. But where's Makar? Where's Vasilevsky fit for you? Where, you know, some of these statements.
Right, because we think about forwards, right? We think about forwards, and we think about the guys who are scoring the pretty, well, Makar's scoring the pretty goals too, but we always think of like the Dreisaitl, and then, you know, this year, Johnny Gaudreau, big reemergence again, Jonathan Huberdeau. So the list goes on, but at what point in your top 10, your top 5, are you throwing a defenseman and a goaltender in there? And it's a good point, because if you don't have that defenseman, if you don't have that goaltender, you're not getting that far in the playoffs. Just ask the other teams that lost along the way.
Exactly. And I still think, like, Vasilevsky is ridiculous. Watching him play, it takes a unique shot. It takes, you know, a special play to beat him almost nightly. And, you know, I know he had the 7-0 loss, and, you know, he had some bumps in the road early on against the Leafs and stuff, but you know, there's a reason why he is called the best player on the planet, or I'm sorry, best goaltender on the planet. And that's with all due respect to Shesterkin, who actually got Hart votes, who won the Vezina. Because Shesterkin, for me, is just a little bit smaller Vasilevsky, because they both have that type of skill. So I look at, you know, the overall arching playoffs this year. I thought they were fantastic. And I know it's disappointing here in Toronto to bail out again early on, but it's I look at some of the storylines, working backwards, the Kadri playing with a broken hand, the Draisaitl injury, McDavid finding another level, MacKinnon finally winning, Tampa, Vasilevsky showing what he can do. It's just, I think there were some amazing storylines from the game of hockey this year, and I think that should be celebrated instead of the negative, the refs screwed this team and this happened here. There was some of that too, but overall,
it's not
there
the playoffs
some great
without
hockey.
It.
No, but there were some great hockey guys. Great hockey.
Absolutely. And you know what? One of the other narratives I wanted to touch on with you, Jamie, is the goaltending situation. So you have Vasilevsky, who we just touched on, the best in the world, and beating him with Colorado is Darcy Kuemper. And so what does this do for teams now? Does this give teams who might not have a Vezina caliber, a true 60-start guy, you know, the big dog, the big cheese, if you don't have that guy, does that give you a little more hope that you can win the Stanley Cup without a guy like that now?
Yes, if you can do this, if you can give up one slot shot in a game six in the Stanley Cup Finals, because that's what Colorado gave up last night. One slot shot, and that was Steven Stamkos' goal early on. Now, the Kucherov one-timer on the back door, that would be deemed one, but he was a little bit wide on the play. But did you count how many chances, like quality chances, did you mark last night, even mentally in your brain, and be like, oh, that was a great save by Kuemper. It was not one
for me. There's two or three. I think there's two or three. The Kucherov
one late with about 6 minutes left. Yeah. You talk a lot about timely saves, Noodles, and I think that was it where I'm like, okay, I think the Avs are winning this game because you're going down on a 2-on-1 and it was like a 3-on-2 odd man rush, and Kucherov gets a one timer on net. Typically, that guy scores. And, Kuemper allowed a bit of a shaky one in the first to Stamkos, but he was pretty solid the rest of the game, but didn't get tested all too much. And that was maybe the only test he got in the entire third period. That was a clinic that Colorado put on the third. That was the timely one that you need to lock things down.
It is. And now that he's proven to the league that he's battle tested, he's held up in probably the most pressurous situation. So, Kuemper is an unrestricted free agent, has at least proven to a manager that he can play, a lot of games, be a starter, a quality starter, and he's a cup champion. But that being said, if you are going to, we'll call it, and this is so disrespectful for me to say, and I'm not trying to be, if you're going to go with average goaltending, even though Kuemper hasn't been, he's been better than that. If that's your mindset, then you better be able to defend. And that was an absolute clinic by a team. And Dave Poulin said last night that Colorado out-Tampa'd Tampa, because that's what Tampa did against the Toronto
100%.
Maple Leafs.
And the Rangers.
They packed everything down low, and they got in front of every single shot, and it didn't matter who it was. It was MacKinnon, it was Lehkonen, it was everyone doing their part. It looked like they, and I think that's the sign of a really good team too, Jamie, is the fact that you're playing against a team like Tampa, you're seeing what they're doing to you, and then you can make that adjustment to say, oh, okay, let's do what they're doing too, because they know how to hold down a third period lead. Let's do the same thing, and they did it to a T.
They did it, and all I could think about, whatever team you cheer for, whether it's Toronto, whether it's Vancouver, I mean, throughout the league, place your team in those situations, and the grind it was, and the parade down the tunnel, and coming back for all of these players, and say, does your team have that type of character, that type of players that would do it? Or would there be guys that down the tunnel and are in their car on their way home in their suit because they're like, I can't hold up through, Colorado played 20 games. They were 16-4. That was a battle. Tampa, same thing. I mean, they went through a war, and we talked about it earlier, the injuries. Nichushkin shows up with a sandal on. He's limping in. You heard Burakovsky just before I came on. He had a surgery on his thumb and on his hand in four different places, and he had a broken foot, and he was talking about playing in Game 7. Nazem Kadri surgery.
Kadri couldn't tie his skates. He had the trainer tying his skate because you can't do it without your thumb.
Even Cogliano, too, had something on his ribs. He took tarps off in the celebration, and he had something on his ribs. Nice little patchwork. Yeah.
But that comes back to, I know that we all use analytics and certain different things to apply, analysis on players. Some of these intangibles can't, and that's will and drive and some of the things, the determination and courage to get in front of a shot when you know that Eric Chernak, I mean, he might be laying with a cold tub right now, that defenseman for Tampa, because that guy seemed to literally get hit with every puck, and then he was down the tunnel and back. I mean, that's the type of stuff that you can't quantify. So take a look at whatever team you cheer for and go, does our team have that type of players at critical moments that will go down the tunnel and come back and not go down the tunnel and go in their car and go home? And that'll be an interesting thing heading into next season.
In conversation with Jamie Noodles McLennan, co-host of Overdrive. And, I mean, to talk a little bit about the other side, of the rink, the team that ended up losing, the dynasty. Well, dynasty could still be moving on, but the reign is over as the champs. I think today about a guy like Steven Stamkos, and that guy put everything on the line yesterday. He was out there blocking shots. He blew up Nate McKinnon there at one point in the game, scored the goal. What can you say about it? Because this seemed like this was his playoff. You think back to the previous three cup finals that team had been on. He wasn't necessarily the focal point, but this seemed like this was his turn, his time. He really evolved into a special player through these playoffs. What do you think his mindset's like today?
Well, he's frustrated. I'm sure he's sad. I watched his media last night. He was disappointed. The one thing I'll say, guys, is I don't think their window's closed.
Definitely not.
Stamkos is 32, Hedman's 31, Kucherov just turned 29, Vasilevsky's 27, points 25, Cirelli's in the 25, I think. You look at Hagel, they traded for on cost control. Like, do they have work to do as far as maybe filling some voids, the cap, all of that type of stuff? Absolutely. But that being said, the core of their team is in place, and now you just reshape around it. And that's what's interesting for me is I don't see this team going anywhere. Like they might get tired, and during the regular season we might have a conversation going, what's wrong with Tampa? What's wrong with this Vasilevsky guy? He's not stopping pucks, or Kucherov looks uninterested, or Stamkos only has this amount of goals, and all of that type of stuff. At some point the fatigue might catch up to them. But that core is not going anywhere, and they're under cost control. I think they're in great shape moving forward. It's just up to the manager, who's a really good general manager, Brisebois, to kind of reshape the group around that core. So I don't think Tampa is a team like, for example, Boston, that's kind of going to be in flux, where you got a bunch of question marks and injuries and stuff. I think they're going to be a team to be reckoned for, and they'll retool and be right back in the mix of things next year.
And to your point, Jamie, I have a feeling when we're all doing our preseason predictions come the fall time, there's going to be a lot of people who are saying, yep, Tampa's going to be in the finals again, because that's how strong the core is. And then hopefully you have everyone back healthy. You think about the guys that they didn't have playing. And, one guy who kind of sticks out, and it's, I have a certain level of sympathy for him, is Corey Perry. Third straight cup final loss. What's your sympathy level for a guy like Corey Perry right now?
A ton. I'm on the other side. I want that guy on my team. He's a pain in the ass to play against.
Yeah.
He is a pain in the ass to play against. And, you know what he's going to bring. Here's a guy that hit at his age, 36 years old. He's in the wars. He knows how to play every night. He's not the fastest guy, but boy, does he know where to be. He's on the first power play on a very, very good team, in front of the net. Handles the puck still elite for me. Yeah, I don't think he's been a burner in his career as far as speed, but he knows exactly how to play. It'd be interesting to see. I think he's got another year on his deal. I think this gave him a two-year deal. But he's a guy who's so valuable because, at critical times and when the push is on, you want him on the ice because he doesn't panic. He plays in all situations. So I felt for him last night. It was sad to see. I think I was his boy and his wife. They were upset. And, hey, that's the emotion of it. Even watching Patty Maroon, who's won three cups in a row,
he
was in tears.
Yeah.
Those guys play hard. Like, I give them a lot of respect because you could tell that they were broken. But they also gave a shout out to Colorado and said, you know what, like those guys, good on them. They went to earn it. And even Steven Stamkos said, we know how excited they are right now. We've been there and we came up short this year. And, I would love to see if Tampa finds that as motivation to go, hey, we were this close, and you know, we're going to get back there next year. Again, lots of work, lots of things have to come into play, but even missing a guy like Braden Point, eventually that just caught up to them. You know, you just didn't have. And Cirelli, I felt so bad for him because that guy is such an amazing player, and you could tell he just was he wasn't there physically, and he wasn't to be able to be as effective as he wanted to be.
Well, I think he only ended up playing like a fraction of what he usually plays on a night, so you could tell he was gutting through it there with that was a skate laceration he took in game. Yeah, so that one was tough.
Ugly. That's ugly.
Yeah, Noodles, I'll let you go on this one here, but you know, it's Leafs lunch, so I gotta get a Leafy's question in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you think Toronto and Kyle Dubas, they look at Colorado's journey and the roster construction, they see enough similarities to give them confidence going into next season if they run it back, thinking maybe, you know, that could be us. Maybe next year we could get over the hump with this core, just like Colorado did. They kept going back to the well, and eventually, you know, they burst through that window. You think Toronto's thinking maybe this will be us next year?
I think there's always a layer of hope, but who is Cale Makar and Bowen Byram and Devon Toews?
That's the big difference.
Like,
eh?
Frankie, you can talk about that defense, of course. Like, the scary part for me is this Bowen Byram's a player, and Girard didn't even play. Like, I think they might have some currency, Colorado, winning the cup without Girard. They might be, and he makes $5 million. You might be able to move him for a really good piece or some cap flexibility to retain one of the 10 free agents that you're letting go. So, yes, I think Sakic has set that roster up. They win, and then they've got flexibility to figure out McKinnon's extension, which it'll kick in a year from now. And then you figure out how you want to reshape around this core. But, yeah, it's hard, and I know it's a copycat league, and I read that this morning, some of the people talking about it on Twitter. How are you copying Cale Makar? You know, how are you? Like, who's
Landeskog last night?
You're not. And if you try to, like, Jamie, if you think you have a Cale Makar and you're trying to copy that mold and say, okay, we're going to have, this is our guy who's Makar, this is our guy who's Toews, like, you're fooling yourself.
No, it's got
to
be done.
You need to do it your own way.
Exactly.
You need to do it your own way. And if you look at the way Colorado did it, they did it with Makar, Toews, Byram. Okay, it's different than the way it's been done the last 2 years with Tampa, with the gargantuan humans they have on the blue line. So, yeah, it's a little different, but which one are you going to make work for your team? Well, you have to see who you have and how you can fit it. Like, and I don't know where the Leafs stand with that, because they have the smaller guys, like, you know, Riley. Okay, Riley's what, 6'1"? He's not the biggest guy. He's your puck mover. And then you have Muzzin and Brody, who are a little bigger. Muzzin has some physicality. Giordano's older, but you don't necessarily fit one or the other. So you need to find your own way of doing it if you're the Leafs.
And it's by committee. So I come back to, can you have the determination and play defense at critical times and defend a lead and only give up one slot shot in a game, you know, against the juggernaut, against Tampa that knew how to win, that didn't panic in any situation? It might come back to structural play as well, because you're right. You can't just – Cale Makar isn't available to anybody. You know, Nathan MacKinnon, yes, you could say that's Austin Matthews, and Mitch Marner is, you know, ranting and all of that. You can do your matchups, and Tavares is Kadri, and you could have your matchups, but, like, at the end of the day, Colorado's depth, you know, where's your JT Compher? That's what, Pierre Engvall?
Underrated player.
But Compher makes $3.5 million. You can't spend that on the bottom of your roster right now with the way that they're constructed here in Toronto. So there's a lot of different ways. You have to create your own path. I think there is hope out there. But it's not a template. You're going, hey, we're going with the Colorado template, because it just, you know, they don't have that type of scenario available to them just based on, you know, superstardom and the way that it's distributed through their lineup.
Yeah, well, we'll see if Toronto can try and get it done. I know Colorado, congrats to them. They're celebrating today. Hey, what type of fine you think Abe Kubel's getting for little dent that he made in the Stanley Cup? I mean, I don't know if he's gonna get like a legitimate fine, but I mean, the team must have been razzing him all night about that last night.
You know what? You'll take it. I think if anything, he's got to, you know, do a couple shots out of it or whatever. But I, you know, you've heard worse. You've heard worse. I mean, the story of it getting dented at Vinny Pantera's house in Dallas when the Stars won the Cup. That was a legitimate. I think it was tossed from the second floor of a house. So, you know, you're not just accidentally slipping and falling on it. That was a legitimate. Like, hey, I'm gooned and I'm going to toss this from the second level. So, that cup has seen a lot worse, put it that way.
I'm sure it has. Noodles, appreciate taking the time, pal. Can't wait to hear what you got to say later on at 4 o'clock. We'll chat 4 then.
4 p.m.
Oh. Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
There he goes. Jamie McLennan, co-host of Overdrive. You ever been to a cup party, Frankie?
I mean, you were with
Pittsburgh when they won.
I went to Jordan Binnington's cup party when St. Louis won. His good buddy of mine played junior or minor hockey with him. But I was thinking about this last night because you win the cup on the road like Colorado does, so you get the big shaker afterwards on the road in Tampa, mm-hmm. and then you get home and you get to fire it up at home now. So is that like you think there's more partying involved when it's on the road because you get the road party and then the home party?
You get the whole plane.
Right, and then you get the bird.
The party in Tampa, too. Like out there in the streets of Tampa Bay.
Oh, for sure. They had a big night out there. Absolutely.
A time. But yeah,
you know what, though? Like,
they're going to be partying for the next 72 hours.
They're going to be partying last night, guaranteed, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were some guys that were just so exhausted and so beat up, they were just like, I'll see you in Colorado. Like,
you think?
I don't know, man. It's a tough one, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was guys that were like, I'll catch you on the bird. Like, I'm done. I'm cooked.
Yeah, you get your celly in the room. You got some champagne sprayed on you. You drank out of the cup. I'll meet you guys at the parade in a couple of days. I'm going to go and sit in a bath of ice for the next 48 hours.
Gallon of Epsom salts.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm sure that's what a couple of guys are doing. You're right. But, man, it was a terrific, terrific Stanley Cup final. We'll chat a little bit about it more. We can dive into it in the next block here. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to get Mike Kelly on from Sport Logic. So he's going to join us at 1 o'clock. And Dave Reed, won a couple of Stanley Cups, won one in Colorado back in 2001 as well. So he's going to join us at 1:30. We'll get his thoughts on it. Maybe we'll see if we can get a cup part. Actually, he was with Dallas when they won in 99. Would he have been at the Pantera cup party?
We got to ask him. We got to find out.
I don't know. Not how I'm thinking. Or at least he would have known about it at least. We got to find out about that now that I think about it. So he's going to join us at 1:30. Fun show ahead for today. I'm Mike DiStefano with Frank Corrado. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
For sure. I mean, there's always next year. It's all we talk about. I feel like, I mean, I'm going in my ninth year next year and I haven't won shit. So I'm just definitely motivated and I'm just, it just sucks, you know, losing four in a row.
That was Nathan MacKinnon last year after getting eliminated in the Stanley Cup playoffs. A much different tone this year as he's now won something, Frankie. That's something being the Stanley Cup. That's right. Nathan MacKinnon, a world champion. And man, honestly, that was just such a clinic that the Colorado Avalanche put on last night. And, you know, Noodles brought it up. They Tampa to Tampa, right? They got a lead in the second period. And then the third period, they said, no, we're locking it down. You're not getting anywhere near our goal crease.
Yeah.
And we're going to win this game and we're going to be hoisting the Stanley Cup in about 20 minutes. That's what they said at the beginning of the period.
Complete buy-in by that team, and you could see it from top to bottom through their roster. The star players, the depth players, the defensemen, the puck-moving guys, the bigger guys, everyone was bought in, and everyone was working towards the same goal. And you could see, like, even when they were talking in the post-game about how much it means to certain guys, and you can tell, like, the respect that a lot of those players have for the veteran, the older players, the guys who have been around the block. Like, we're talking about guys like Landeskog. This guy is a very accomplished player. He's one of the youngest captains in NHL history, and the first person he mentions is Andrew Cogliano. Like, he's so happy they got it done for Cogs after 1,100 something NHL games, and Eric Johnson, who's been in Colorado through the thick and thin of things, and former first overall pick, and he finally wins a Stanley Cup. And talking with Jamie, it was so evident that Colorado out-Tampa. They took a page out of the Tampa playbook in that third period, and that's how you lock down a game. And the amount of shots that they blocked, and there's a couple plays, too, even off faceoffs, where I'm watching this guy, Arturi Lehkonen, who's a good player. He's a fine player, but when you just kind of zone in on him, and you don't watch anything else, and you just watch him, the amount of checks he would battle through to just get a stick on a puck and make sure things got out, it's like that's the kind of defensive responsibility that a coach or players on the bench are noticing, whereas, you know, the average fan, if we're just watching the game, unless you're really looking for it, you don't necessarily see that, right? But it started at the top of the lineup, and everyone just kind of everyone filled in and did their job, and they did it to the best of their ability. So, and you know, you have to give a lot of credit to Jared Bednar as well. When you're talking about a coach who's, I guess you want to call it the new version of the Triple Crown, where he's an ECHL champion, an AHL champion, and now he's an NHL champion. And it wasn't that long ago where people would ask, who's the coach of Colorado again? Like, who's there?
Well,
and they're not going to be asking that anymore.
No, absolutely not. Like, that guy's a proven winner. And that's why, like, a few weeks ago, I was making the case that, and I kind of was asking Noodles along the same lines, where if you're Toronto, I mean, you see a team that stuck with it. They had a vision in mind, right? This was Sakic's vision, his plan. They stuck with it, and it came to fruition. They became Stanley Cup champions. And, you know, there was times where the fan base wanted, they wanted Sakic's head on a platter. They wanted Jared Bednar out of town. And it wasn't even that long ago. Like, we're talking in the last few years. We're seeing that happen right now with Dubas and with Sheldon Keefe.
Let me ask you this. If you're, like, do you think that the Maple Leafs players have gone through the same kind of heartbreak and agony that the Colorado players have gone through the last 3 years?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Yeah,
or
I mean,
you think,
dude.
Yeah.
You look at the last 3 years and how it's gone down. They lose in the bubble to Columbus, in which a team they absolutely should have beat, but they lose to them in that bubble. It was a weird situation, obviously. No COVID, you come back, you get thrusted right into a playoff series, and
okay,
it is
so
what it is. But that's
you
another
call
loss.
It a gimme? Like, is that your gimme? You want to give them should've a gimme
been.
On that one?
It should have been. No, I'm not going to give them a gimme. They should have won
it. Right, they should have won it.
And then Montreal, the heartbreak. You're up 3-1 against the Montreal Canadiens. You can't close it out. And then you go up against the defending cup champions. You're up 3-2 on them in the series, and you can't close it out. You know,
you
have
think it's
every
that
opportunity
similar?
To do so.
Like, I guess my point is, like, is it that similar if Colorado has been getting past the first round and then losing in the second round? Like, is it? Do you think the one round makes a difference? I kind of do because, like, my own experience playing in the playoffs, like, so I've been to a Calder Cup Finals in the AHL, and as you get going in the playoffs and you realize that there's 16 teams, now there's 8 teams, now there's 4 teams, now there was 2 teams, and every round you just, it puts it into perspective for you a little more, the magnitude of the situation, how cool it is. Like, you're one of 8 teams remaining, you're one of 4 teams remaining, you're the only 2 teams remaining in the entire league. Like, when that starts clicking in your head, you really realize how special the situation is. And I don't think the Leafs getting out of the first round, like not being able to get out of the first round, I don't think they understand that yet. They're still just one of 16 teams who makes the playoffs. They are no different than the Minnesota Wild, who lost in the first round, who no one thinks about in any other, in any market, maybe not even in Minnesota. You know what I mean? I think there needs to be a little more heartbreak for them before they start to really be contenders. I really do, because they're not knocking on the door yet. They're not even, like, they're at the door. They haven't even knocked yet. Like, you haven't got past the first round. These guys at least got past the first round before.
So this year does nothing for you. Like, seeing Tampa, the team, like, they were toe-to-toe at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Could if they get one shot, one good bounce in overtime in Game 6, they win that game, right? They win that game, they win that series, they move on. Who says that they're not in the cup final, taking on the Colorado Avalanche, and we'll see how that plays out. If that one bounce in Game 6 overtime goes Toronto's way, and it could have been Toronto there last night. I know. But, like, you look at it, they were kind of right there. In a sense, they're right there. Now, what does that mean exactly? I mean, they could have went and got blown out by Florida. It could have easily happened, right? We don't
Which
know
I actually don't
what
think they would
in the
have.
Ultimate
I think,
universe.
I think if they played Florida, they probably would have won, to be honest.
I think so, too. Look, dude, we sat there, and we wrote down our playoff brackets at the beginning of the playoffs. I had Toronto going to the Cup final because I thought to myself, whoever wins this series is going on to the Stanley Cup final and representing
the East. Right, you could see the path.
And that's exactly what happened in Toronto. They were so close. I mean, outside of Colorado, they're the team that tested them the most, right? So they're right up in there in that
It's such a consolation prize.
It is.
I feel like it's just such an arbitrary consolation prize to say that, oh, we challenged them the most or we gave them the best run. Like, yeah, I know. Like, it's great. It's great.
Yeah, but they got a lot of respect in the handshake.
You know, I had a lot of great practices in the NHL. Didn't mean that I got in the lineup or got to play power play, you know?
Yeah.
It got to the point where I would have a great practice. I scored some goals on Freddie, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm back. I'm ready. Like, I'm an NHL player. And then, like, I'm not playing anyway. So,
I think the key difference between, I guess, any other team who's hoping to replicate Colorado and is the fact that there's only one Cale Makar. I mean, like, yeah. Noodles is wrong, which is what Gabe Landeskog said yesterday. I think it was Emily Kaplan that asked him, hey, you know, this is a copycat league. What do you think teams are going to try and do next year? They'll try and take from you. And his answer was pretty blunt. Try and find a Cale Makar somewhere.
Yeah,
I don't think a Cale Makar is going to come out of the rough from anywhere.
And also, too, like we got some good stats here on Nathan MacKinnon and what he's been able to accomplish through his time in the playoffs. And we're looking most goals in a player's first 70 career playoff games with the Avalanche. And he's number one. He passed Joe Sakic. He's got 41 goals. Joe Sakic has 39. And then most points by a player in their first 70 career playoff games. So you got Gretzky, Lemieux, Curry, Bossy, Dennis Savard, Sidney Crosby, and then Nathan MacKinnon. So he's in with some world-class elite talent, some of the best players that ever played the game. And so not only are you looking for Cale Makar, you're also looking for Nathan MacKinnon and the way he's able to perform in the playoffs, which is, you know, you can call it taking his game to the next level, but, man, he's been productive at this level.
He has, and that's been a big knock on Toronto's big boys, right? They have not been productive in the playoffs. They're productive enough. This year, you know, we saw a little bit more production than we had in years past, and I think that's another thing that could take them to the next level. If they get, you know, a guy like Austin Matthews and guys like Mitch Marner averaging over a point per game in a series or in a playoff, they'll be in a much better spot, which they haven't been the last couple of years. And that's been a big difference. I don't know. We'll see. I feel a little bit, I look at Colorado and I see the fact that they went back to the well and it just seems very similar to Toronto to me. I know, you believe, they probably have to win a couple more rounds to have that true heartbreak to know how it feels. But honestly, I think this is a situation in a team where if they can get over that one hurdle, which is, you know, the first round, I believe that's a team that could go on a run. Like, I almost
like it
to
the old game where it's like, if we get one, we're going to get five. You know, like, that happens all the time where you can't get a goal. And then you're like, once we get one, floodgates are going to open. Guys are saying that on the bench. So you think the Leafs are in the same situation when it comes to the playoffs?
Well, I think the demon is the first round, right? I think that's what the playoff demon is. So if they can put that to bed, right, for good and get out of the first round, then I think their heads are a little clearer, and they're not gripping the stick as much. They don't have as much pressure on them. And when you're playing, you know, free-flowing, and you're just allowing your skill to overtake yourself, and they have just as much skill as anyone in the league when you look at the talent on that roster, Matthews, Marner, Nylander. I mean, they've got guys who can put the puck in the back of the net.
I think he's a heck of a GM. I think he addresses all the needs on his team every year. And he doesn't, like, when trade deadline comes along, if you're a Leafs fan and you're sitting there, you're like, okay, I think the GM addressed everything we need. Like, we're set going into the playoffs. And that's why I think every year going into the playoffs, we're fans and media are like, okay, they're going to do it. This is the year they're going to do it because what else is there to address? So, you know, and you want to draw similarities to Joe Sakic and Kyle Dubas. I'm sure there's plenty, but They definitely work in the same manner where there's patience with the group, there's patience with the coaching staff, and every year they go out and address needs of their team.
I want to get into that a little bit. Maybe we'll do that on the other side. Let's take a quick break because Sakic did some wonders at this trade deadline, and that's ultimately, I think, what propelled this team to be as deep as they were and as good as they were and as clutch as they were due to a lot of just wizard work from Joe Sakic over the last couple of years to construct this roster and then really put the final touches on at the trade deadline. Let's talk about some of those additions, how they built this juggernaut Stanley Cup champion. We'll do that on the other side. And at 1 o'clock, we're going to have Mike Kelly join us. And then 1:30, we'll also be joined by former NHLer Dave Reed. So fun show coming up. I'm Mike DiStefano with Frank Corrado, filling in for Julia Teixeira. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050. So easy to get out of your car lease at Canada's number one lease takeover marketplace. LeaseBusters, avoid penalties and early termination. Go to LeaseBusters.com. Frank Corrado with me. I'm Mike DiStefano. Listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050. We were just kind of, before we went to break, talking about how Joe Sakic did such an impeccable job of building this juggernaut. And it really started a couple of years ago. I mean, you can go back to the Matt Duchene trade where things really started you could obviously go way back to the drafting of Landeskog and McKinnon and whatnot, but
those are those are picks you're gonna make though. Like those guys first and second overall. Like
right, exactly.
They fall in your lap at that point.
Exactly. But like holding out and waiting and the haul that Sakic eventually got for Matt Duchene was incredible and ended up in becoming a Bowen Byram and a Sammy Girard. And, Girard obviously didn't end up playing, because he, due to injury, missed basically the entire playoffs.
It's nice, but you can Bowen win without Byram, him though. Like,
well,
you win without a big time player like that playing in the playoffs.
Who they have? It was both, Sam Girard and Ryan Murray not in their top six and they still ended up going and winning. Like, that's their six or seven and eight guy.
Ryan Murray's a good player. He's a depth player at this point in his career, but he's a good NHL player nonetheless. I can't remember if he was my draft. He might have been the draft after me. He was in the top
he
three
was
overall.
Yakupov.
Ryan Murray. Second. He was second overall when Yakupov was first. So there's another guy, obviously not picked by Colorado, but with some big pedigree as well.
Yeah. But you look at the entire what's that?
I was going to ask you, what did they give up for Arturi Lehkonen? What did they give up?
So they
give
up.
Do you remember?
A pick and a second round pick and a prospect. So they gave up a pretty good defensive prospect. I think it was Justin Barron, a guy who they took either first or second round a year or two ago. So it's a pretty good prospect.
And Montreal's happy to have Barron. I know that
of
for
course,
sure. They're 100%.
That but that was, there was a piece in The Athletic. I think Pierre LeBrun wrote about it. And he was hounding Kent Hughes, trying to get Arturi Lehkonen for weeks. And eventually they were able to come up with a deal. And Lehkonen, what this guy was able to do for this club was
he was great, man.
Honestly, he was so clutch for them. And it's not even like he was, like the leader in points, but like 8 goals for them, 14 points. But you think about the goals he scored the game winner. First of all, he had 4 game-winning goals. 4 of his 8 goals were game-winning. But he had the game-winning goal to send them into the Stanley Cup final, right? And then the guy ends up with the game-winning goal to win the Stanley Cup, the game-winning goal last night.
Yeah.
Like, those
are
massive.
That's the kind of guy that's the kind of guy that you talk about who's an unsung hero, right, who scores a big goal like that. But it's all, and we're talking about all the small things, the song that they play, all the small things, but he literally does all the small things along the way in the game after game, night after night, that leads him to scoring that big goal. So it's very deserved. And our guy Chris Johnston tweeting out, Arturi big goal Lehkonen scored twice in the clincher when his Swedish team Frölunda won in 2016. OT winner to send Montreal to last year's Stanley Cup Finals, and then OT winner to send Colorado to this year's Stanley Cup Finals, and then wins the Stanley Cup clinching goal. So, that's one too where if you're Joe Sakic, you want this guy. This is what you need on your team, and you give up the piece, and you're okay with it, but you live with the fact that this guy could be the piece that gets you to the Stanley Cup.
And it worked out perfectly. The guy ended up on the top line in the game-clinching Stanley Cup final. Like, it couldn't have worked out any better, honestly, for that squad. They gave up 2 second-round picks for Devon Toews. That worked out perfectly. The Kadri trade, we all know how much of a win the Kadri trade was for Colorado. They picked up Josh Manson, who was a beast for them. Even Nico Sturm had some really quality minutes on the fourth line.
Well, he had to play, right? Like, he had to play. There was guys out. You had to play.
And all it cost them at the deadline this year, Cogliano, another deadline pickup, couple of picks, a prospect. The only roster player was Tyson Jost. And outside of that, they added four roster players and only had to take away one. And each and every one of them was instrumental to leading them to the promised land and getting them to hoist Lord Stanley. And none probably bigger than Arturi Lehkonen. Four game-winning goals, including the Stanley Cup game-winning goal. So kudos to Joe Sakic, not only a winner as a player, but now a winner as a general manager. And I have a feeling that it's not going to be his last win as a GM, because this squad's so good, man, so good. All right, we got to fly. Mike Kelly coming up at 105, and we'll also have Dave Reed, former NHLer, on as well. Won the Cup with the Avalanche last time they had won back in 2001. So we'll find out maybe his Cup story and some stories from that time, and also what he thought about this year's team and their chances of maybe repeating and starting their own dynasty moving forward. So that's coming up in the second hour. I'm Mike DiStefano for Frank Corrado. Second hour of Leafs Lunch coming up next.